I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Julie Powell. She's the author of the books Julie and Julia and the memoir Cleaving. Actually, they're both memoirs. And she will be speaking tonight at 7 o'clock at the O'Shaughnessy Performance Space in Benildis Hall on the campus of the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks for having me.
So your books are very much about food and relationships and how those things go together, and food really became your life quite a long time ago. I mean, you write about when you were in high school, you were cooking things to impress the man who then became your husband.
Yes. No, food has, there's always been this strange sort of knot with food and a lot of other things in my life from very early on. The story I tell in the book, Julie and Julia, is that I discovered my father's secret copy of Joy of Sex at the same time that I discovered Julia Child's Mastering the Art of French Cooking, and then somehow those two books kind of became entwined in my head, and that
good
probably
heavens.
Yeah, it explains a lot about me. We should talk to my therapist about it. So for a long time, food has meant intimacy, and it's meant connection, and it's been this sort of seeking thing for me. So yeah, when I was in high school and I found this beautiful boy who everyone was in love with, and my secret weapon was to start learning to cook, with many disasters along the way, but it worked for me, to not just because I wanted to impress him, but because this was something I could share that was uniquely mine, and that was somehow showing a picture into me, and so that's always been the way food has worked for me. And and so in Julie and Julia, it was very natural that when I was frustrated and wanted to make something of myself as a writer and as an artist, that Mastering the Art of French Cooking would be my subject. And then later in Cleaving, when I'm going through the difficult time I was going through in my marriage at that time, somehow for me, the metaphor of butchery and chopping up animals became this, both an escape and a metaphor for what I was doing to my marriage at that time. So those kinds of metaphors just kind of pop up into my head simultaneously.
The book, the first book, the memoir Julie and Julia, was made into a movie with Meryl Streep and Amy Adams, and a very charming movie, and everybody loves it. I loved it. And then the second book, Cleaving, I mean, it's tough stuff. You write very openly and rather explicitly about an extramarital affair that you had that was kind of like an addiction that you were unable to let go of, and the havoc that that wreaked on your marriage. And as you say, you took up butchering. You actually found a butcher shop that took you on as an apprentice, right, with, you know, I mean, it could have made sense after all the food, mastering the art of French cooking that you did over that year, and now learning butchering. Was the butcher shop, I mean, you say it was a metaphor, but was it also an escape? I mean, was that a place you could go and just not think about?
Absolutely. I think that when I came up with the idea of wanting to learn butchery, and I was looking for someplace, people who would teach me, and I actually had a working title for the book when I was doing this, and I was going to call it The Dying Art, because the similarity between butchering and marriage is that they both deal in death and despair, and they're both dying out as institutions. So I had just had it all in my head, but then I found this butcher shop called Fleischer's in upstate New York, and Josh and Jessica let me come in and learn this art, this craft, and I found, you know, I thought what I was going to find was a catharsis and, you know, great big knives and chopping things up and death, but really what I found was this sort of gentle, this gentleness and this sort of zen practice. I find it very striking that you can do almost all butchery with the tip of a 1-inch of a 6-inch knife, and you can break down entire giant animals that way, and they kind of come apart for you in this very gentle way. So it was very meditative. I was able to stand there at that table and break down animals all day and sort of usher them into meat, and I found it a sort of gentle, quiet way to sort of shut down and let the roiling emotions that were going on the rest of my life sort of quiet down for a little bit. It was a real release for me.
I read the second book, and then I went back to the first book, Julie and Julia, which the whole world has described as, oh, look, what a perfect, beautiful marriage they had. And having read the second book first, I kind of felt like the roots of what happened are all there.
I absolutely agree. I think it's definitely there. And it was something, the timing of the release of the first book and then the second book and then the movie, by the time the first book was released, Eric and I were already, we were separated for a time, and I'm going on Good Morning America and today and talking to people about this beautiful marriage you have with this beautiful man. I'm like, he is a beautiful man, and everything is going to hell, and I don't know what to do about it, and it felt like a lie. So even though the truth is in Julie and Julia, and all those little fissures are in Julie and Julia. I didn't know it when I wrote it, but they're there. And so that's part of the other reason I wrote Cleaving, is that I felt it was a sort of corrective. I didn't want to be held up as this example of the perfect fairy book, wife and marriage, when marriage is so much harder than that, and things get so cracked and separated. And so the book, I wanted to be honest to what a marriage is like and what people, get themselves into. And that was more important to me than continuing to paint this picture of me as this really cool person.
Well, it's one of the things that's interesting about, I suppose, the writing process and being a writer. On the one hand, those fissures are there and they're evident, and if only we would read what we wrote
exactly.
Or listen to ourselves.
Exactly.
And on the other hand, you make these mythologies about yourself and others mm-hmm. that you either have to live up to or correct, but whatever it is, especially in the case of memoir, your life becomes very public, and it must be strange.
It is, and, we were talking a bit before we began this interview that, when Cleaving came out and I got some really withering and personal attacks, both from critics and even more so from Joe Random on the internet. And the thing was, I think that Julie and Julia kind of, blogging and then the book and then the movie kind of prepared me for that kind of criticism. Even though I got much more positive criticism for the first, I was getting this sense that everyone thought that they were in my personal life and that I was someone they knew. Which is, that's what memoir is. That's what it does. You're letting someone into your life, and that's part of it. But it made me a little more, a little stronger in the face of that really serious, personal, you're a terrible person, all that kind of stuff. I could sort of say, you have the right to that. I gave you that. It's in there. But I couldn't take it personally, and I don't.
I've noticed that on your blog, you've been quiet since 2010.
Yeah.
Is that like a kind of response to the crazily public life that you were leading before that?
Definitely, partly. I definitely told Eric, this is part of the condition of us trying to, work this out and continue to be husband and wife, is that I've got to respect our privacy in a more, in a deeper way and keep ourselves a little more undercover. So that's part of it. But it's also just the way blogging has changed for me. When I first started blogging in 2002, it was this, nobody knew what it was or what it could do. You didn't know that you were opening up your life to, to masses. And I had a project, and the project kept me going every day. Nowadays, I just don't want to put myself out there for no particular... If I had a really compelling project that I wanted to, put out there every single day, then I would blog again. But the world is just so much different and bigger and more corporate's not quite the word, but it's a business now, and I'm just not interested in doing that at this point.
What are you working on?
I'm working on two different novels, one of which I've been working on for a decade and is making me want to stab myself in the eye. Very difficult. And the other one is a young adult novel that I'm working on with my husband, actually, which is really cool, because one of the things that's great about us, that always has been great, even when things were terrible, is that we have a really copacetic sort of imagination. We understand what we each think is funny and cool and like a new thing we both want to see or read. So that experience is fun. It's a YA novel about a young girl who's two whose parents simultaneously fall into comas mysteriously, which becomes an inciting event for her and for a lot of other kids.
Now, are you still cooking? I mean, having cooked the entire Julia Child Art of French Cooking, I mean, that's a huge feat. Did that momentum keep up at all?
Well, I mean, I definitely do cook. We, you know, given especially the fact that we're New Yorkers, we eat in every night. I don't know what the new restaurants are in New York. I don't know anything about anything. We eat all the time. It's a much simpler thing than it used to be. For one thing, I'm 41 now, and I can't keep up with that kind of butter. I can't do it. So we're eating lighter and more simple.
Has the movement toward all of these, like, vegan, paleo, gluten-free dietary changes that have really taken over society in a pretty big way, have they affected the way you cook and eat at all?
No. I'm mostly contemptuous of that stuff. While I understand the reasons people have it, I think, you know, gluten especially irritates me. I guess the only thing that I've been affected by is actually more the my butchering experience, because Josh Applestone, who runs Fleischer's, actually was the only person I've ever seen who was trying to get his customers to buy less. He's like, I need a pound and a half. He's like, how many people are you serving? Three. He's like, you don't need a pound and a half. You need 3/4 of a pound. You know, and he very strongly believes what Michael Pollan believes, which is eat, you know, mostly vegetables, very, you know, little bits of meat, you know, use it almost as a garnish, and use the good stuff, use the stuff that's humanely raised and that doesn't have the junk in it, and that is expensive. So we eat less meat than we used to, and we try to sort of live our values in terms of where we get, you know, where we source our meat from, and we eat vegetarian a lot more, which, you know, we're both from Texas, and my husband especially, it's hard for him to eat vegetarian, but he manages.
Julie Powell is author of the two memoirs, Julie and Julia and Cleaving, and she will be doing a reading tonight and Q&A at the O'Shaughnessy Performance Space in Benildis Hall on the campus of the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. That's tonight at 7 o'clock, and will your books be available there?
I believe so, yes, and I'll be there for signing as well.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, thank you, Julie Powell, for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.